Yes, indeed. It's Pastor Allen with another edition of My Dad Rocks, a show bringing you rock and metal music from the 80s and 90s, songs with spiritual messages, Christian bands who sing about some of the most important topics concerning us and where we stand with God, the things we need to hear about. It's rock and roll for your soul. So give it a try, listen in for a while, and see what God may have to say to you. I've got some good stuff lined up for you today, both musically and message-wise. Our theme today is Isaiah 64:6, which says this: "For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags, and all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away." You know, if the river is polluted, then all that comes out of the river is polluted. No matter how big and beautiful the fish are, they're still tainted with pollution and therefore unacceptable to eat. And if we are unclean because of our sins, then everything that we do is unclean. Even the best, most righteous things that we do are still tainted with our sin and are therefore unacceptable to God. And they're like filthy rags before God's eyes. That's what the verse tells us today. Well, our first band sings about this. Here's Galactic Cowboys with "In This Life." Galactic Cowboys, "In This Life." You know, there's an instinctual belief that we have that if we're good people, if we do good things, that we're going to go to heaven. Because we have a rather high opinion of ourselves, and we believe that God sees us the way we see ourselves, as being basically good people. You know, we look out at other people and we say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and I'm not as bad, I don't do this and I don't do that like they do that. And we think we're okay. And we think that way because we don't really understand the holiness of God. We're not really comparing ourselves with God. We're comparing ourselves with other sinful people just like us. And of course, we're going to look good when we compare ourselves to other people. But what do we look like when we compare ourselves to God? That's when we come to see the depth of our own sinfulness. And most people believe that when it comes time for God to judge us all, that he's going to take our bad deeds and he's going to put them on one side of the scale, and he's going to take all our good deeds and good intentions and put them on another side of the scale. And if our good outweighs our bad, then we'll go to heaven. But that's simply not true according to the Bible. That's not the way it's going to go. God is perfectly holy. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God requires that we be perfectly righteous in order to have a relationship with him and in order to get to heaven. You see, the Bible puts it this way in Psalm 5:4. It says, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. God is so holy that he can't allow evil to dwell with him. No person who has any sin can dwell with God. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. So no amount of good that you could ever do will erase the smallest sin you've committed. In the song they sang, every good boy does fine, does his best for all mankind, appearance of integrity, keep him barking up that tree. You see, the devil would like nothing better than for us to keep trying to be good people, trying to somehow be good enough to get to heaven. If someone ever starts to feel guilty about the way they're living, one of the first things the devil does is to encourage them to start doing better, to be nicer to people, to be more helpful, to go to church, to try and clean themselves up. Well, why would the devil do that? Well, because he knows it won't work. He knows our God-given consciences will bother us, will make us feel bad about our sinful ways. So what he'll do is suggest that we try harder to become good people, to clean ourselves up so that we can become acceptable to God. And that way, he can pacify our consciences to make us feel like we're doing what's right without really looking too deep into the solution to our sin. And he knows that if he can get you to believe that you can fix your own problems through your own effort by being better and doing good, then he can keep you from the broad, he can keep you on the broad path, rather, that leads to destruction and keep you away from the narrow path that leads to life. He wants us to do anything except surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Hey, that was Pillar. Pillar. And they're going to sing again, actually. No, they're not, because I'm going to turn them off. You know what they sang in that song? You're afraid of what it takes to give it away, all away. Doing enough just to get by, just to get by, thinking that you're living the right life. You know, the devil doesn't want you to give your life to Jesus Christ. He wants you to feel like you're doing just fine on your own, that trying to be a good person and trying to do the right thing, he wants you to feel that you're doing enough to get by, doing enough good to get you into heaven. But there's only one way to get the perfect righteousness that God requires, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God, that is the righteousness that God requires, has been manifested apart from the law. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. By trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone, you can be saved. Jesus came to the earth and he lived as a human being just like you and me. He got tired, he needed sleep, he got hungry and thirsty, and he was tempted just like you and me, but he never sinned. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest, speaking of Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ was the only one who was ever perfectly righteous, and then he died on the cross in our place, even though he didn't deserve to die, in order to pay the penalty for our sin. And the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Hey, that was Blood Good, You Lose. They sang in that song, you think you're all right by the things you do, but then you disregard the Lord so true. Boy, how true is that? Some people think they're really good, but then they disregard God. They don't live for God. It doesn't matter how good we are as people, how nice we are to others, how considerate we are of other people. If we ignore God, if we don't live with God being at the center of our thinking, then we're really wicked and prideful. Well, whoa, that sounds harsh. How can you say something like that? Well, because that's what the Bible says. In Psalm 10:4, it says, "In his pride, the wicked does not seek him," that is God. "In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." And the Bible tells us that the arrogant shall not stand in God's presence, and he hates all who do wrong in Psalm 5:5. There are many people who believe that they are Christian, yet they don't live for God. They don't consider God in all their thinking and all their planning. They don't think about how he would have them to live or conduct their relationships or spend their money or raise their children or run their businesses, etc., etc. If God were dead, it would make no practical difference in the way they live. Many people who go to church live this way, and that's what is the subject of the next few songs that we're going to play here. Here's Daniel Band with Undercover Christian. That was Daniel Band, Canadian band from the 80s, with Undercover Christian. Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you claim that you're a Christian, but it doesn't bother you to hear people take God's name in vain and to hear others or yourself to do it? Do you claim to be a Christian, but if someone were to ask the people you're around every day, what would they say? Would they say you're a Christian? Do you claim to be a Christian, yet you never go to church? The Bible says that we're not to forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, Hebrews 10:25. In other words, those who claim to be Christians should not stop going to church. Are you playing a game? Are you one person around those who are religious and someone else around your friends? Do you claim to know God one minute, but the next minute you're cursing a blue streak? Are you like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Hey, that was Whiteheart with Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Christian. You know, they sang in that song, God is not your alibi. A lot of people use God as an alibi. They're quick to claim that they believe in God or a Christian in order to cover their tracks. And, you know, they're one person when one set of people are around. They're somebody else when another group is around. When it's convenient, they are a Christian. They believe in God. But when it's inconvenient, they throw God to the side. You know, they're hypocrites pretending to be one thing when they are in reality something else. And Jesus says this in Matthew 23:25 and 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but the inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. You know, it's people like that who give, who bring shame to the name of Christ, who give Christianity a bad name. It's people like that who help the devil keep people from going to church. And King's X sings a song about this. It's called Mr. Wilson. Hey, that was King's X with Mr. Wilson. You know, no amount of church going will change your heart. No amount of doing good deeds will wash away the guilt of your sin. The old, you know, the old adage, actions speak louder than words. It's very true. You may say you have faith, but as the Apostle James says, what use is it if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? And then in verse 17, he says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. Well, most people have only the same kind of faith that demons have. Well, what are you talking about? Well, James says in James 2:19, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. You see, the demons believe in God, but they rebel against him. So also many people say they believe in God, but they live in open rebellion against God. They don't follow his word. And as Titus says in Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good works. And see, here we are back to good deeds again. All our righteous deeds are like filthy rags before God's because we're tainted with sin. We profess to know God, but we really deny him by the way we live. We can claim that we know God, but if we don't live for him, if we don't obey his word, then all our good deeds are worthless. You don't need to be fooled by the devil. Don't fool yourself either with your own heart, as DBD, XL and DBD sings about. Don't fool yourself. Hey, that was XL and DBD, XL and Death Before Dishonor, with their song, Don't Fool Yourself. You know, he said in that line, hot or cold, no man, you ain't either. And that came from Revelation 3:16, where Jesus is addressing one of the churches who is saying they're okay, they're fine, they don't need any help, they're good, they're in good condition, but really they're not. They're poor and blind and in miserable condition, a wretched condition, he says. But listen to what he says about them. He says in Revelation 3:16, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And literally, it means to vomit you out of my mouth. That's how God feels about those who try to ride the fence. And that was another line they said in there. He said, you're riding the fence, You're riding on the fence. You got me convinced. You're claiming that Jesus is the Lord of your life. When you follow the deceiver, don't call yourself a believer. And many people claim that Jesus is their Savior, but they live following the devil and the ways of the world. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, he said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we all too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Did you notice how in that verse that the Apostle Paul says that indulging the desires of our flesh and mind is actually following the course of the world, is actually following the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil? So those who claim that they are believers but live gratifying the desires of their flesh and mind are actually following the deceiver, as they sang about in that song. But there's coming a time, however, when God is going to shake things up. And Bride sings about that in Fallout. Hey, that was Bride with Fallout. And they got that verse, that title, Fallout, because they were thinking, he said, Fallout against my house, which is God's talking to mankind. God's house is the church. And 1 Peter 4, Peter says this, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for the testing, for your testing, as though some strange things were happening to you. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you, in verse 14. And then he says in verse 17, For it's time for the judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it's difficult, and with if difficulty the righteous man is saved, what will become of the godless man and the sinner? You know, that's very true. God, those who claim to know Christ, they're tested. And the Bible talks about that. Mark chapter 4, Jesus said this in the parable of the sower. He gave a parable describing what people, like four different kinds of people. And only one person saved who receives the word of God. And the one that falls on the rocky soil, he talks about the farmer going and spreading the seed out on the soil. And some of it falls on the path where people walk. Some of it falls among the thorns. Some of it falls on the rocky soil. And some of it falls on good soil. And the rocky soil, listen to how Jesus described the rocky soil. He said, In a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed, which is the word of God, was sown on the rocky places, who, when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy. And they, having no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. For when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. You see, that describes lots of people in America. They've heard the Bible. They heard about Jesus. They receive it with joy. They get excited about it. And for a couple of weeks, they're doing great. But then they get some kind of hardship, or somebody makes fun of them or teases them about being a Christian, and they fall away and they don't continue on with God. And that's what Bride was talking about, this fallout against my house. The judgment's coming. And if you're not in the church, if you're not claiming to be a Christian, then what's the outcome going to be for you? If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, those who are trying to follow God, what's the outcome for those others, is what Peter says there. Well, White Cross also sings a song about this shake-up, and it's called Shakedown. Hey, White Cross with Shake Down. You know, they got that song out of Matthew 7, 21 through 23. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day," that's the judgment day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?" And then Jesus says, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You see, many people who claim to know Jesus and say that he's their Lord and may be engaged in many good deeds, even ministry, are going to stand before Jesus and be surprised to find out that they're not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. The reason is very simple, though. Jesus said he never knew them personally, and they didn't obey him. They practiced lawlessness. They didn't practice God's word. They knew about Jesus. They believed who he was, who he said he was, rather, and they knew about Jesus, but they didn't know him personally. And there's a difference between knowing God personally and knowing about God. You see, I used to speak all the time with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to athletes, and what I would do is I would bring up the example of Emmitt Smith, who just got inducted into the Hall of Fame as NFL's all-time leading rusher. Now, I would raise, I would say back when he was playing with the Dallas Cowboys, I would ask them to raise their hands who knew Emmitt Smith, and of course, everybody that was a football fan knew who he was, and they would raise their hands. And I would say, "Well, how many of you know him personally?" And everybody would drop their hand except me, because I played football with him in high school. He was a year behind me at my high school, and I knew him personally. And I did that to illustrate the difference between you can know a lot about somebody. You can know a lot, like Emmitt Smith. You can know all his statistics. You can know how many touchdowns. You can know all things about him, but without knowing him personally. And it's the same thing is true with God. You can know who God is. You can know there is a God. You can believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You can believe that he died on the cross. You can believe all the facts about Jesus and yet not know him personally. And how do I know if I know Jesus personally then? Well, the Bible answers that for us in 1 John 2. Verses 3 through 6, it says this: "By this we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him," in Jesus, "ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked." If you truly know Jesus Christ, then you're going to want to do the things that please God. You will most definitely want to do good things and will, in fact, be able to do so because Jesus came that you might live for him and not for yourself anymore. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. He says, "And he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." And Petra sings a song about that. It's called God Pleaser.